want to speak to you tonight and go on a little bit from what we spoke about last week. But if you'd open your Bibles, if you've got them there, to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, this is verse 14, write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither hot, cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Eye salve. What's God talking about here? The faithful and true witness says, I counsel you to come and get eye salve for your eyes so you can see. Eye salve is ointments. So what does God want us to do? He says you need eye salve so you can see. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost in order to be able to truly see our true state. In order to know the truth, we need the Spirit of truth to anoint our eyes. We can't in our own selves rightly perceive and know the times, the seasons. We can't rightly even know our own hearts or our own state. We can't know truth from lie without the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of truth to lead us into His truth. With Him, in His light, we see light. Amen? Yeah. So we need the eye salve of the Holy Ghost. We need to be continually seeing everything with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and through His eyes. And he says, if you will do this, I'll allow you to see your true state so that you can be zealous and repent, so that you can recognize where you are, and so that you can come to me and exchange your rags for my white garments. Amen? It's like Peter, when he spoke to Jesus, and Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And Peter had the revelation, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And he says, Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Spirit, my Father who's in heaven's revealed this to you. And Peter was all excited, and the next thing he did was begin to rebuke Jesus about going to the cross, because he thought, well, that's not a good idea, and I had a really good one before. And you know, we can easily do that if we rely on our own strength, if we try and work things out in our own understanding. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. We need the Holy Ghost to be able to properly hear and see. We need Him all the time. When I was looking up that word ointment, it came from the Greek word which means glue. I thought, hang on, this is strange. Glue? You need glue on your eyes? Yes, you need your eyes glued to things above, things that are pure and lovely and of a good report. You can only see rightly when your eyes are fixed on Him. Amen? John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He is able to keep us from falling. Amen. The Spirit of God is the only one that can, only by His grace, only by His strength, only by staying glued on Him, Only by continually saying, Lord, I need you. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you. Help me. Lead me. What's the truth here? Only that way can we walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Otherwise, left to our own devices, Satan is the one that rules this world and the fallen flesh. That's why Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan. Because when we're in the flesh, we're against God. It's an enmity with God, the flesh. Psalm 51 verse 6 says, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. You know, God is dealing with his church, just as Kevin said before. There's a shaking going on, and he's desiring truth in the inner parts. He wants absolute light and purity and truth. He wants you free. He wants you to have a clean conscience. And there's nothing like having a clean conscience. A conscience that your heart doesn't condemn you. When you know, I'm free. I'm actually clean. And to be free from guilt. It's the only way you can really have peace. It's the only way you can have confidence and look at people in the eye and be free is when you have a clean conscience. But you know, a lot of Christians don't have a clean conscience because they confess their sin and either they get caught up in condemnation or they confess their sin but fail to turn from their sin. And so guilt remains because they know deep down, though they have said sorry, they haven't followed through with turning from their sin. You see, the only way to cleanse a guilty conscience is through repentance and faith in the blood of Jesus. But it's not enough just to say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry about that, but know deep in your heart that you're not really going to change because it does nothing but deceive yourself. Does nothing but try and take like a Panadol for a broken leg. It's just it doesn't fix the problem and it won't remove guilt. God is calling and shaking his people to bring them to repentance because through repentance and faith in God, we can find freedom. Amen? So God wants us to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Faith without works is dead. So we need to put legs on what we're doing and walk in the truth that we have been has been revealed to us. I spoke last week about drift and about how David, King David, mighty man of valor, man of God who was a man after God's own heart, a friend of God, a worshiper of God, spoken so highly of by God, how he could find himself in the place where he had committed adultery and then murdered the woman's husband. This man after God's own heart. And how did that happen? But it happened little by little. If the devil had taken him and said, David, got a plan. You don't go to war this time. You stay home, give yourself a break, and you're going to see a woman, sleep with her, she's going to get pregnant, you're going to then have to kill her husband, people are going to find out about it, the baby's going to die. What do you think? He would have gone, get out of here, I don't want that. No way, I'm a man of God. But you see, the devil doesn't come and open his hand and say, hey, look, this is going to be the consequences. He just says, just have a little indulgence. Just indulge your flesh a little bit. It said that David, at the time when kings go to war, David was on the couch, it says in the scripture. And you know, we need to understand that this walk is a narrow path. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to life. And few are those who find it. And we have to be careful how we walk. We need to we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling, but knowing that we can trust in the one now unto him who is able to keep us from falling. But we can't afford a little indulgence. We can't afford to give life or feed the flesh. I was referring to a sermon I heard by Jack Frost once, and he was a fishing boat captain, and he was talking about drift. And he said that if you even just for a moment let yourself go at just a half a degree off course and you didn't realize what had happened, within a few hours you could be miles and miles away from where you should be and not even realize on the open sea that you were so far off course. And that's exactly how it works. The devil comes in, he says, just a little indulgence, just a little deviation. And then he comes in and he tries to encourage you and help you. It's like someone who perhaps is no longer in fellowship, no longer worshipping with people in church anywhere. You know, it often starts just with, oh, I'm just going to stay home this week. And they stay home and the flesh goes, yeah, that was good. You deserved that. Then next week, something happens. Something comes up. And I say, oh, yeah, but I'm going to go back next week. And then next week, it's like, you know, I feel fine. You know, I'm having a coffee and fellowship with Christians. And, you know, and this is probably good for the family, you know, having more time. It's a late night, you know. And the enemy comes in and he starts to reason with you. And you start to justify it. And then the next week you think, well, actually, there's probably something really wrong with that place. I think they're a bit off, you know. I think, you know, maybe the whole church has just lost it. And before they know it, they've been out of fellowship for months and their fire has gone cold. Or you might just start with a little whinge about somebody. You just think, that was really awful what happened. And you're just tempted to just have a little self-pity. And you have a little thought and your flesh goes, yeah, that was good to feel like that. You did, yeah. They were terrible, weren't they? And you think, yes. Then the next thing, one sin leads to another. One little indulgence leads to another. Next thing is, I'm just gonna talk to my friend about that. You know, because... And you have a little chat and you have a talk about it and they go, yeah, yeah. And you have maybe make a joke about the person and you feel better and your flesh goes, yeah, that felt good. And then you start to think about it a bit more, what they did and how wrong they were. And you start to get a little bit proud about, you know, how you were so right and they were so wrong. How could they possibly do that? And then before you know it, you've got this great big root of bitterness and unforgiveness that keeps you from receiving forgiveness, and it could mean that you end up in hell. Because he says, unless you forgive, you will not be forgiven. And if you've not been forgiven, but if the devil had said, just think about that for a minute and you'll end up completely off course, you would have thought, get behind me, Satan. But we need to be so careful how we walk. Amen? So one sin leads to another. But in the same way, when you start to put your foot on the highway of holiness, when you start to determine, yeah, I'm going to walk in the fruit of repentance. I'm going to come to God and ask Him for His strength day by day. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to begin to walk in holiness. You know, you begin to take a step. And God says, draw near to God and I will draw near to you. He comes in and helps you. And it's like the wind of the Spirit comes at your back and He begins to lead you and help you as you walk. And the more you walk in the light, the more light you begin to see. And the more you taste of the goodness of God, the more you want it. There is nothing like the presence of God. Nothing satisfies like the presence of God. And He'll begin to lead you into greater and greater light. I want to speak tonight from 2 Kings, chapter 22. It's the story of a young king called Josiah. First one, it says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Wouldn't that be good to be said of you? Now, when it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, that the king sent Shaphan the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of those doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord, doing the work to repair the damages of the house." Because Josiah had come after a long period of absolutely satanic stuff that had been going on in Israel, horrific things that the rulers had been doing, and he began to rebuild the temple. Hallelujah. Then verse 8, then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, "I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, "Your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hands of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord." Then Shaphan the priest showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. Now Josiah, he just began to do what he knew, what the Holy Spirit had revealed to him was right. He began to do what he knew was right. And as he put his foot to doing what was right, God revealed more. He let them find the book of the law. And as he read the word of God, he was cut to the heart and his eyes were open and he was able to see the state of the nation and what needed to be changed. And he was able to lead Israel in repentance. And you know, as we walk in the light that we have, as we begin to put our foot on the road, God will add more and more revelation. Matthew 25 talks about the parable of the talents. You know, you're responsible to do something with the revelation that you have. And as you begin to act on the revelation you're given, you'll receive more. Matthew 25, 28 says, and speaking of the parable of the talents, you know, some were given 10, some were given 5, and so on, and one was given 1. And you know, if you know the story of the parable of the talents, the one who was given the most made the most, and the one who was given only 1 talent, he just buried it in the ground. And it's speaking of this one, he says, "Take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You think, that's a very strange thing, but that's the Bible. He who has will be given more. When you start to walk in the light that you know, you'll be given more light. But if you begin to drift, even what you had will be taken away from you. But if you will walk in the light of the gospel, if you begin to walk in the light of his power and his truth, God will give you more. James 4:17 says, "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." We can read that, but hey, that's pretty serious. How much do you know to do right? When you don't do right and you sin against your conscience, when you know that that's the right thing to do, I know that by the Spirit of God, I know that through the Word of God, and you don't do it, it's sin to you. Because you're responsible for the revelation that you have. You're responsible to do what you can with what you've got. You're responsible for what God's given you. And those who do act on the revelation, they receive more and have abundance. And that's wonderful. It's a little bit like the gifts of the Spirit. In prophecy, I found that the more that I begin to prophesy, the more prophetic words God gives me. And the more I begin to seek God, the more revelation I get of Him. I remember getting on a plane one day after being ministering day after day, night after night, and prophesying over lots of people. I got on the plane, ready to come home, sat down beside this man, and immediately God started speaking to me about how many children he had and what this stuff that was going on in his life, and I didn't even ask for it. And I thought, what's this, God? And I began to realize, you know, when you start using what you've got, when you start doing, using what God has given you, faithful, when you're faithful with what God's given you, God will give you more. And it'll begin to, you'll begin to have an abundance, more than you need, more than you ask for. When you begin to start praying for the sick, God will start healing people with your shadow. You'll have exceedingly abundantly above as you start to be faithful with what you have, faithful with what you know, faithful in the light. Hallelujah. It's like priming the pump. And you begin to start moving in the gifts of the Spirit. It's like priming a pump and it begins to flow. But you, if you don't use it, it won't grow. The gift grows by reason of use. Amen? It's like testimonies. If you use what you've got, God will give you more. You start testifying like Brian did here, God will give you more testimonies to give. If you start encouraging yourself in the Lord with the testimonies and the good things that God's done, God will give you more. You know, you can encourage yourself in the Lord. There's certain things that you are not supposed to remember about your past. When they're under the blood, they're forgiven, they're forgotten, you're not supposed to think about it anymore. But there are things that the Lord said, build a memorial. Things that He did, great things that God did. He told the Israelites when He did something wonderful, He told them to build a memorial and tell your sons about it, tell your children about it. Because He wanted them to remember the miracles and the wonderful things that God had done, because in that their faith would be built up and they'd be encouraged. Same thing in your life. You know, if you begin to remember the good things that God's done, you'll be encouraged. You know, I started thinking today just about how God had set me up since I was little. I was remembering when I was in grade 6 and doing a talent quest, and I was singing, "Step into the sunshine, get out of the rain." Does anyone remember Evie Tornquist? I was just in a state school, but I couldn't help myself, but I'd have to bring a gospel song. I remember my mother being called up to the school when I was in grade 3 because they didn't know how to deal with this and speak about it, but they said, "Can you just ask your daughter to stop writing in the margins, Jesus loves you," and crosses and stuff. I didn't think about that until today. And the Lord encouraged me. He said, "Catherine, I called you from before you were born to preach the gospel." Now, this is before I was converted. I believed in God, but this is before I had a revelation of God. But God knew, and he used that today to encourage me that I'm called. I've been called to preach the good news of the gospel. I think about, at times, I think about the things that God had done. I wrote little journals through my teenage years of the miracles God did. And as I go over and remember that, I think, wow, God, how beautiful you are, how awesome you are. And you have a right to go over and forget not his benefits. Forget not the good things that God has done. Encourage yourself. And you know, as you do that, God will give you more. God will give you more to write about. God will give you more to speak about. We need to be faithful with the things that we've got. We need not to despise them, but to be faithful. Now, the sad thing about King Josiah's life was that he died on the battlefield before his time, fighting someone else's battle. He did everything right. He did everything wonderfully against all odds. The son of a particularly perverse and wicked king. God raised up in his destiny. It had been prophesied hundreds of years before that there would be a man called Josiah who would be God would raise up as king, and he would burn the false prophet's bones on the altar of God. And he did that. He walked in the destiny of God. Hallelujah. But then it all ended too quickly, because he decided the good and noble thing to do would be to help his friends the Assyrians, because Egypt was coming to attack them. And he figured, yes, that's a good and noble thing to do. Go and help my neighbors. But he didn't think about the fact that God had not told him to do that. And he didn't acknowledge God. And as a result, he was killed. And you think, whoa, that's a bit heavy. God's not very kind. But you know, the enemy is the one who's not very kind. You give him even a little window, and he will come in and try and take your life. He hates you because you are made in the image of God. And we need to be very careful. We don't go along so well. The Galatians says, take care when you think you stand, lest you fall. Because without the Spirit of God in everything, without Him giving us eye salve so that we can see everything that we do through the eyes of His Spirit, so that we can see the truth, if we don't continually set our hearts upon Him, we're in danger of opening a door to the enemy and being destroyed. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. We must embrace the Spirit of truth and start seeking after the truth. In His light, we see light. Amen. See, our God came to rescue us, deliver us, set us free. He came to give us freedom so that we could have confidence before God, so that we could walk in life and life more abundance. But we can't have peace with God. We can't have freedom from sin without giving over the sin. See, grace is a divine exchange where we say, God, here's my life, and we receive His. Here's my sin and my old ways. I give it to you. Help me, Jesus. The humble get grace. Amen. And if you come to Him and you humble yourself, you don't even have to beat yourself up to humble yourself. All you got to do is say, help. Because pride is what would keep you back from saying, help. Oh, I can do it. I can handle it. I'm all right. That happened to me when I was teaching back many years ago in a jazz school. I was just teaching singing, and somebody came along. The Lord told me to leave, and I just didn't do it because I thought, no, I can handle this, God. It's cool. And people started saying, come and join our band. Come and sing in the casino. And I started thinking, well, they must think I'm pretty good. You know, I thought, well, the church doesn't think I'm very good, so, you know, that feels pretty good. And the Lord said, I want you to quit. Can handle it. I'm being a shining light here. I'm being a witness. I began to drift. And then one day, as I was having my quiet time with God, the Lord showed me a vision of a bird flying with a big string attached to a rock. And He said, Catherine, if you don't cut that, you're not going anywhere. I got such a fright that I went and I quit immediately. But I felt so bad afterwards. I thought, God, how could it take me so long to listen to you? But finally, God gave me a revelation that when He forgives, I repented and I changed my way. If I'd said sorry, God, and continued going to work, I would have been in trouble. God deals with everybody differently. It was just me. I couldn't handle that. And God knew it was bad for my heart, and it was leading me astray, and I had to get rid of it because I was called for the ministry. But, you know, when I got the revelation, hey, it's not my job to be feeling bad about this anymore, because that's been repented of. And I had to come to the place where I would put my faith in the cleansing blood of Jesus to set me free from sin, to set me free. And that as soon as I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. If I will repent from my heart And you know, God can do that for you tonight. God can rescue you and he can save your soul. And I know that sometimes we hear these things and we think, yes, yes, that's all good. But without God, I have got nothing. I found him to be the only one that truly knows how to love me. He knows how to love me in a way that makes me smile no matter what. When I look to him, everything else is just seems so irrelevant because he's so lovely. He's my ever-present help in time of need. He's there all the time. When I need him, when I don't have a pressing need, he's there to fill my life with his love, with his presence. And I can lift my voice in song knowing that he accepts me, he loves me because he died and his blood was shed for me, and I believe that I'm clean, that I believe that I'm pure before him. And we spoke about guilt, but we didn't speak so much about condemnation. And condemnation is a lack of faith in the blood of Jesus. And then, you know, tonight, if you will put your faith in him, you'll turn from your sin. God will rescue you. He will bring his light into your life. And he'll set you on the path to everlasting life, where you walk with him all the days of your life and spend eternity with him in heaven. It's what you were born to do. You see, anything else will cause you to feel lost, will cause you to never really find your purpose and your destiny. You are born with a purpose and a destiny, and that's to have fellowship with the living God, to walk and do exploits in his name. I've seen him do so much more than I could ever have imagined when I was just a little girl. I never even thought about preaching. At that time, I didn't think I ever knew of a woman preacher. It didn't even occur to me. But God had a destiny and a plan, and God has a destiny and a plan for your life. Whatever avenue it might be, he has the plan that is going to cause you to find true joy and satisfaction. Nothing will satisfy you like walking in the will of God with him. So tonight, I want to pray for people. If that's you tonight and you say, I want to give my life to Christ. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be set free. I want to receive him into my life. I want to exchange my sin for his forgiveness. I want to exchange my life and receive life and life more abundant. I want to pray for you. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? And I want to pray for you right now. Is anybody here that says, I want to give my life to Christ? Yeah, I'll pray for you, Kevin. Is anybody else that says, I want to give my life to Christ tonight? Hallelujah. Anyone else going to join him? I want to pray for you tonight. Shikia bakaraya sekiata. Give your life to Christ. Without him, you're lost. Hallelujah. Is anybody else? Sikia maha shikia bahasaka. Shikia makara basikia. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Thank you for your power. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. You are not looking for golden vessels, Lord. You're not looking for silver vessels. Shekia mahasandara. You're looking for yielded vessels, oh God. And I thank you, Father, right now. Shekia, this man is a yielded vessel, oh God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the anointing, oh God, that breaks the yoke right now. Father, I thank you as this yielded vessel is given to you. Holy Ghost, I thank you that you fill him and flood him for your glory. Hallelujah. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Shekia Mahasaka, flowing in and through him, oh God. I thank you, Lord, that you are the Spirit of truth, oh God. And I thank you, Lord, that for the truth right now that sets him free. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your anointing, Holy Spirit. Shanka Mahasa, thank you, Lord, for his example, Lord. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. Yaso Kalavate, O Kahasia. Father, I thank you, Lord, that this is the beginning of many, many, many more salvations. Many, many. many more. Shikia hasakala. Many, many more coming into the kingdom. Lord, I thank you for this broken and yielded vessel, oh God. Yasakama. I thank you that you will shine your anointing and your glory through this one. Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, just as the alabaster box was broken, oh God, and the aroma filled the room. I thank you, Father, that Kevin is the aroma of Christ to those who are perishing, oh God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the breaking of your spirit, Lord God, that more may know of your glory. Father, I thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Sekia maha. Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the light of God. Ho Gaba, shining your God into this woman. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Shele mahasa, that many will come to the brightness of her rising. Spirit of God. Yasake andaramasia. I thank you for your anointing that breaks every yoke. Hallelujah. Thank you, Spirit of Jesus. Siki ora mahasa, that you're delivering the deliverers, oh God. Isiki amahashi. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing, Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord, hey, right now for the power of God, Shiki, that's gripped a hold of Teresa's life, oh God, will grip a hold of many other lives. I thank you, Lord, tonight, oh God, you're making her like a PowerPoint in the wall, oh God, through which you will flow, Shiki, as she yields herself to you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for this life given over to you, Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Sikia mahaka. Is anybody else? Says, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to give over to God. Is anybody else? Sekia raboko shikia. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Selia ramaha sekia maha kabase. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this anointed, yielded vessel, oh God, given over to you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Fill her with your power, oh God, in Jesus' name. Sikia mahase. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for divine exchange here right now. Yes, God, this is, oh God, Shikia, a night, Lord God, to be remembered. Hallelujah. Sikia mahasa. Shikia, tonight is the night that my sister dies, oh God, and that you live, oh God, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your anointing, Spirit of God. Brahmahasa. O kande labahaseke. I thank you, Lord God, as this life is laid down on the altar. Jesus, you come. Sikia, Spirit of God. Mahandara. Fill him with your power, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Father, thank you, Lord, for Cherie. Shikia mahasa. Shikia ma. This life given over to you. Shikia ma. In Jesus' name, touch her and fill her afresh, Holy Ghost. Shala hande. Father, a broken and a contrite heart, you will not despise. I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Sankukatea sandoravashi. Yasande. Fill her up, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, Siliarava, Sun Kia Mahande. Father, I thank you, Lord God, as this man humbles himself, oh God, you fill him and exalt him for your glory, oh God. Mahasandoba Shikia, thank you for a yielded vessel, oh God. Monko Kasenda, given over to you in Jesus' name. Boka Shibia, many will come to the brightness of his rising. Lord, in Jesus' name, Bakasia, fill him, Holy Ghost. Nando Koshikia, Lama. I thank you, Lord, that he drinks of the river of your pleasures, oh God. And he brings life and life everlasting, oh God, through his mouth, oh God. Rivers will flow, oh God. Out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. I thank you that he'll be sent on assignment, oh God, for your glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this man, oh God. I thank you, Spirit of God. Share care for Fukose. I thank you, Lord, for divine destiny, oh God, upon this man's life. In the name of Jesus, Lord, from before he was born, oh God, you had plans for him. Oh God, I thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you wrap him up in your presence right now in Jesus' name as he's given over to you, oh God. Yahandebe. Lord, you set him free in the name of Jesus and fill him and use him for your glory. Lo Karama. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the heritage, oh God, upon this man's life, oh God. And I thank you, Lord, that you have made a plan and a purpose. Lord, that you've called him Shekia Mahasaba Enkiyama, to walk as a king, oh God, to walk in authority. Shinkiya Mahasa Lendorabaha. Father, I thank you, Lord, that he's a man of wisdom, that you give him wisdom. The Lord's going to give you wisdom and insight. Shekiyama Halavasikiya Lahoda. I see that you're just laying yourself before him and your mind before him. And the Lord says, I'm going to fill your mind. I'm going to fill your thoughts. Shiki, you shall have the mind of Christ. Sheki Adaka. And I thank you too that his children, oh God, are coming in, that they have the same string upon them, Lord God, that you are pulling them, and that you who have begun a good work in them will carry it through to completion. Father, I thank you for your deliverance in the name of Jesus. Shekiah, my Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Oh God, we need you. We need you. We need you, Spirit of God. Thank you. Thank you for your anointing, Holy Spirit. I need you. Jesus. Touch your Holy Ghost. Thank you for your Spirit. Yes, God. Oh, thank you, Lord, from before she was born, you've called her. Thank you for this life given over to you tonight in the name of Jesus. Yes, God. I thank you, Lord, that she's made to be a fisherman. Oh, God, a fisher of men. Yes, and you'll give her much success for your glory. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon this one. Hallelujah. Hey, Kia Mahasaba, I thank you that she'll travel with the good news of the gospel. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sikia Mahata, thank you, Lord, for this one. Oh, God, your handmaiden. Shekia Bakaba Sikia. Humbalianda, humble herself, Kushikia. Thank you, Lord, as she humbles herself before you. Yes, God. Hallelujah. You open the doors of life. Life and life everlasting. Spirit of God, Shekia Mahakukaba, fill her. Fill her, Holy Ghost. Humboria Sata. Jesus. Jesus. Sikia Mahande. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Bunkara Hosoka. Dambra Mahasebea. Spirit of God. Yasukia. I thank you for a new prophetic anointing. Holy Ghost. Shikia Pandian. Shikia Bahaka. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Spirit of God. Yes, God. I thank you, Lord, that every spot, Lord God, it's taken out clean tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your shaka. Thank you for your presence. Yes, God. Hallelujah. The Lord looks at you and says, you're clean. Shikia bahaka babakasa de halamundo robase. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yasa baba bahase. Thank you, Jesus. Clean. I thank you, Lord, by your power, by your blood, Jesus. He shall declare your praises, oh God. Declare your goodness to the heavens, oh God.